Are you familiar with Murphy's Law? It's an epigram. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong, and at the worst possible time, aka the last 48 hours or so for the Milwaukee Brewers. It's not just a perfect storm, it's a full-on hurricane right now. The vibes are not great. Brewers fall in a heartbreaker to the Pirates. A lot to unpack. But me, the eternal optimist, is going to be real. Let's get it going. You're locked on.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, come on in, take a seat on the couch, take a deep breath. Good morning. There's a game happening probably right now. 11:30 first pitch today, Brewers and Pirates finale of the series. Maybe you're just going on your way to work, stayed up all night for that tough one yesterday. Nonetheless, take a seat on the couch. It's time for a hash it out session. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast dedicated to the Brewers all season long. Subscribe, follow, you know the drill by now. We're at Locked On Brewers, wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube as well. Tough one. Brewers fall 8-7. Brian Reynolds, a walk-off home run. Fourth career walk-off for him. First career walk-off home run. He had a heck of a game. Brewers fought back. They had a lead early. Freddie Peralta pitched in this game, which feels like forever ago. But Devin Williams, the streak is over. At 30 consecutive scoreless outings, 28 and two-thirds innings consecutive without allowing a run, gives up the home run to the first batter he faces in the bottom of the ninth inning in a tied game. That's just the tip of the iceberg. We're going to have a game recap coming up in a little bit. We're also going to explain the roster movement that we saw yesterday, and that kind of goes into the Murphy's Law stuff, specifically at the catching position and with the Danielson Lamet deal of DFAing him. Let's start a little differently than we normally do. And let's be real for a second. These last few days have stunk. Absolutely. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh yeah, everything's fine. Yeah, something's off. Devin Williams teased it yesterday in his postgame presser. Brent Suter teased it in his postgame presser that it's hard to ignore a move like that, the impact it makes on a team in first place. This is exactly what I feared in Friday's episode when I was asked, are the Brewers going to trade Josh Hader? And I said, it would feel like Yoenis Cespedes in 2014. And it's getting close to that right now. The Cardinals were idle yesterday. So the lead is down to a half game currently in the Central. It's, again, going to come down to the last day of the regular season. So buckle up for that part of it. But now they're playing a doubleheader tomorrow. So there is a chance that the Cardinals are up by the end of the day tomorrow, even if the Brewers win and salvage the series finale in that one today. But starting with just an overall checkup of how things are going right now. And when you look at it from 30,000 feet up and reading all the articles of grading the trade deadline and how did your team do and all of this stuff, when you look at it from 30,000 feet up, I see, and this is a bit of irony of the way things worked out, that the Brewers are in Pittsburgh for a midweek series. Always a tough draw in Pittsburgh. Midweek, of course. There's no juice there in the ballpark for them. And I watched highlights last night of San Diego. Obviously, they introduced Juan Soto and they introduced Josh Bell. Brandon Drury was introduced, and he introduced himself in a big way. They scored 5 runs in the first inning, highlighted by a Brandon Drury grand slam in his first plate appearance. The first 5 batters reached in that game for the Padres. And I see a sellout crowd on a Wednesday night in San Diego, and they're jumping, they're excited. And then I look at Pittsburgh, a dead, flat crowd, a little over 10,000 fans there. The Brewers fighting for their lives in this game with every single bullpen arm they had, just about claw all the way back to tie it. They couldn't quite take the lead in the 8th and the 9th inning. And then their best pitcher on the staff, reliever-wise that is, loses the game. That stinks. It really does stink. But here's the beauty of baseball. Just counts for one game, man. It's just one game. And I can sit here and say everything's fine, which it seems like not everything's fine, but it's a new normal. It's a new adjustment. It's a new clubhouse that, look, these guys have known each other for a long time. Yes, you welcome in some new faces with Matt Bush and with Taylor Rogers and Jake McGee this past week. Position player-wise, they're exactly the same. The hitting got things going again, too, for the Brewers. And it may seem urgent. 58 games to go. The Brewers are now 57-47. They've lost three games in a row. In the microcosm of this week, yes, this feels like the sky is falling, the roof's caving in. They're never going to make it. But you got a series coming up next weekend. And not to look ahead and not to get ahead of ourselves, but let's look each other in the eyes and be honest with each other. Next weekend in St. Louis could go down as the most important series of the year. The reason why that is, no matter how the standings shake out between now and then, there will be an opportunity in one of two ways. For whoever is in the lead of the division to grab hold of it with two hands by winning that series. And furthermore, if they sweep it, whomever that team may be. And on the flip side, the team that's chasing can punch right back in the mouth and say, I ain't going anywhere by winning that series. So which end of that spectrum will the Brewers arrive in St. Louis next Friday in? Are they going to be fighting back, trying to make a comeback as they enter maybe a game or two back? Or are they going to be a game or two ahead and saying to the Cardinals, yeah, traded Josh Hader, but still going to beat you guys? It's all you can do. Just play the games. 58 to go. Craig Counsell had a great quote yesterday. I don't want to paraphrase it. I'm just going to go ahead and play it for you from his post-game presser yesterday. This is courtesy of Bally Sports Wisconsin.
I don't know. What do you feel about just the clubhouse right now?
Well, I mean, this is the season provides challenges. And the games just have provided challenges for us the last two nights. And they beat us. We haven't gotten it done, and they have. We've got to get back at it tomorrow and shortly have a game. 12 hours have a game again.
It's all you can do. I mean, I don't know when you're listening to this today, but they could be already playing right now. And as Josh Hader said in that rough outing in San Francisco right before the All-Star break, you put it in there and flush it. And let me present what ifs are dangerous. Hypotheticals are dangerous, and they're stupid sometimes. But let me just say, you had your best on the mound, and he had a 30 consecutive scoreless inning streak, and he lost. It happens. If that game happens maybe 2 days before the trade deadline, say Josh Hader gives up a home run, or if it's Devin in the ninth, whatever it may be, if that happens 2 days before the trade deadline, it doesn't feel as severe as it feels right now. And at the end of the day, it doesn't matter having that what if, because it doesn't happen. Josh Hader is gone. Devin Williams is going to be looked to as the closer along with Taylor Rogers. They're professionals, as Devin Williams said, and he didn't perform last night. Own it and move on. We can sit here and throw a pity party all day long, but nobody wants to do that. The Brewers got to dust themselves off, 58 games to go, 10 games above 500, and still clinging on the first place by a half game. Finale today against the Pirates, 3 against the Reds this weekend, who just tore everything down. Then an off day, then a quick 2-gamer with Tampa Bay, who you swept at their place, and then the biggest stretch of games of the year for how this Brewers team is going to perform leading into September. You will have next weekend in St. Louis, back home for 4 with the Dodgers, down to Wrigley for 3, and then off to Los Angeles for 3. With no off days between any of those games. It's about to get real fast, so the Brewers are going to try to generate their own momentum today and move on from there. Why should you be optimistic right now? I understand it's hard to do that. But you still got 7 more games head-to-head, and you do have control of your own destiny. The Brewers can still win these 4 of these next 7 games head-to-head with the Cardinals and have a key tiebreaker against the team trying to chase them down. You're not out of it yet. There's 58 games to go, but they need some positivity happening for them. And there was some positivity in this game, but the bullpen, like we talk about, hitting being contagious, The bullpen trying to find the stopper, it just wasn't happening yesterday. And the Pirates put some good swings and some A swings. O'Neill Cruz, man, oh man, that left side of the Pirates defense is going to give the Brewers thorns a long, long time now with Cruz and Hayes. Let's actually talk about this game now. I know it's hard right now. Yesterday was a really rough day. But Josh Hader's gone. We got to move on and take it on the chin and come back in the next round swinging. That's what I tag every show with. Keep on swinging, right? So let's keep swinging. Let's talk about the game. Roster stuff coming up in just a second. Let's talk about BlueNile.com. Blue, the color, Nile, the river, .com. That simple. The original online jeweler. Since 1999, they've helped millions of couples create their perfect engagement ring. And Blue Nile is committed to ensuring the highest ethical standards are observed when sourcing diamonds and jewelry. And right now, they are having their incredible anniversary sale. More on that in just a second. If you're ready to pop the question, if you're celebrating a milestone moment, if you just want a just-because gift, find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. They have expert advice available 24/7, legendary service with 30-day returns. And when you commit to a piece, so does Blue Nile. Guaranteed service and repair for life. And they have the diamond price guarantee. So you can contact Blue Nile to compare a competitor's diamond against one of their own. And in most cases, Blue Nile can meet or even beat the price. And during this Blue Nile anniversary sale, you can save up to 40% on classic fine jewelry pieces and 25% on engagement ring settings. Make your moment sparkle with BlueNile.com. Every order is insured, it ships for free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. This was a wacky one. If I try to recap every single play, it still won't be enough detail for what actually went down in this game. I got a few bullet points I want to touch on. And again, 8-7 the final. The Pirates win. Walk-off homer by Brian Reynolds. Who else, of course, off of Devin Williams, breaking the streak. Brewers were up 4-0 in the second inning in this game. They ended up blowing the lead, obviously, to make it 4-4 late. But you felt like with this bullpen and with the retools, of this is what the team is built on, right? Run prevention. But you blink, and the defense didn't exactly help out the Brewers in this one. More on that in a second. You blink, and a soft single followed by a mammoth blast two-run homer, and it's now 7-4. But then the Brewers punch right back. They get three runs, all with two outs in the top of the eighth inning. To tie things up at 7, both teams trade zeros in the bottom of the 8th and the top of the 9th, and setting the stage for Reynolds to win it in the bottom of the 9th inning. Overall, though, the Brewers, they went 5-for-13 with runners in scoring position, which may not sound like a lot, but it's actually really good. That's better than .380. I'm totally cool with that. That's a great number. They did leave 9 runners on base, including leaving the bases loaded with 2 outs in the first inning. Luis Urias took the collar today. He went 0-for-5. Not a great day for Weecho. The only other player on the Brewers that did not have a hit in this game was actually Hunter Renfroe. He went 0-for-4, but he did reach base with a walk. When we look at this offense, the thing that encouraged me about this game, that they had 12 hits. They did not hit a home run. It's obviously a pitcher's ballpark. They used sustainable offense. Andrew McCutchen had another pair of doubles against his former team. We got to find a way to ship that bed from Pittsburgh here to Milwaukee, because he loves sleeping in that bed back in his own home in Pittsburgh. But the Brewers' offense was sustainable enough tonight to be encouraged by what you saw. There was a glaring red flag to me, and this pertains to the Cardinals. They were stymied for a few innings by the lefty Dylan Peters, and we've talked about the Brewers' struggles against left-handed starters all season long. It has been their kryptonite. Against lefty starters, they're 16-16. Now, Peters was not the starter, but he did his job of neutralizing the Brewers' rallies, keeping it a 4-0 game, because then the Pirates rewarded him by getting 2 runs in the bottom of the 3rd inning, keeping themselves competitive and keeping themselves in it, while Peters did his job of throwing zeros on the board. The reason why this pertains to the Cardinals is because the major moves they made here at the deadline, obviously they didn't get Juan Soto, but they added 2 left-handed starters, Jordan Montgomery and Jose Quintana. The Brewers have to figure out how to hit lefties in these final 58 games. They're going to face off against at least one of those guys. You know that's how it's going to shake out. That's going to come down to the difference this last month and a half, 2 months or so, the Brewers need to hit left-handed pitching better than they have. And Dylan Peters, tip your cap to him. He did his job today. Another thing I wanted to touch on, Christian Yelich and Colton Wong are white hot right now. Yelich now has a 12-game hitting streak. He's doing his job. If you're looking for the 2019 Christian Yelich, go look somewhere else because you've been living under a rock the last 2 years. That guy's not showing up. He's not hitting home runs, but he's hitting the ball the other way. He's getting singles, and he's stealing bases. In fact, he stole his 15th base last night. He has not been caught yet this season. That is the most steals by any player in baseball without being caught yet this season. And if that holds for Christian Yelich, however many stolen bases he ends up with, it will be the most stolen bases in a season without getting caught by a Brewer player in franchise history. So I'd love to him to get to an even rounded off number like 20, right? If he can go 20 for 20, that's a heck of an accomplishment without getting caught. Keep an eye on that for Yelich. He scored 3 runs, 1 for 3, had 2 walks, including a clutch one in the bottom of the eighth inning, or the top of the eighth inning, to keep the rally going. Colton Wong had an RBI single early, also drew a walk in this game. He continues to tear the cover off the ball since coming off the IL, and especially here in the second half. His on-base percentage is over .450 in the second half. It's really important to see that happen from Colton, because we all wondered, well, what are the Brewers going to do when Wong comes back and Yelich is in the leadoff spot? That's been Wong's spot all along. Well, now, with Yelich leading off and performing the way he has, having Wong behind a guy like Kutch or Renfro or Tellez, whoever's in the cleanup spot, you get to restart the lineup for the power guy that's probably hitting right behind him. So, for instance, in yesterday's game, it was Andrew McCutchen batting cleanup and Hunter Renfro batting behind Colton Wong. If Colton keeps this going, that means more often than not, Hunter Renfro is going to be batting with a man on base, a chance to do damage with Colton Wong on the base paths. That's a good fix for this lineup to keep things rolling as long as Colton continues to provide. He's going to cool down inevitably, but this has been very encouraging. His average is up to .257. Yelich's average is up to .263. Adames had 2 hits in this game, including an RBI. He had 4 RBIs, including a double. Great day for Willie. There is offense in there. I know everybody wanted a bat, but look down what was truly available and accessible for the Brewers and tell me what would have been a surefire upgrade. If you say Jock Peterson, I just explained the Brewers can't hit lefties. Jock doesn't even play against lefties. JD Martinez wasn't traded. Wilson Contreras wasn't traded. Ian Happ wasn't traded. Ramon Laureano wasn't traded. For the guys that were actually traded that the Brewers had a chance at, I think the only one would have been Mancini. But as soon as Bell was rumored to be in that Juan Soto deal, the Astros jumped at the chance to get Mancini because they wanted to get Bell bad. I digress. Trade deadline's passed. We're not talking about it anymore, all right? But I just wanted to get out here and say, like, this is the offense that the Brewers should be looking and striving to for the rest of the season. If they pop a home run, cool, that's great. But this is the kind of offense that we've talked about that they are capable of doing. They drew 5 walks. They only struck out 6 times. Great numbers there. And again, the runners in scoring position, 5 for 13. You know the Brewers are capable of having games like this. And the bullpen had a weird day. We know that. They had a blip on the radar. Devin Williams had been automatic. He has earned a free pass from you. He has earned this. It is not normal to go 30 straight appearances in the big leagues without allowing a run. Do not be spoiled by what you've been seeing the last few months between Williams and Hader. It's not normal. This is what we call regressing to the mean. It is normal to give up runs. There are big leaguers on the other side. Give them respect when they deserve that respect. But as this thing was shaken out, Taylor Rogers had a good inning. Trevor Gott had a good inning to get back on track. But as this thing was shaken out, you could see it coming from a mile away. As soon as Devin Williams got in that game, you could see it coming. And if you want to put a jinx on me, I tweeted this. If you believe in jinxes still, you're as soft as Charmin, man. Jinxes don't happen. Jinxes are give you something to clutch onto and to give an excuse. If you want to make that excuse, if you want to blame me, fine. I am not going to lose any sleep at night if you think I jinx something. And the reason why, Vin Scully, God rest his soul, we talked about him all day yesterday. What an amazing career. You go back and listen to his perfect game. You go back. He called three perfect games, multiple no-hitters. The dude has seen baseball history. Know what he was doing on the broadcast? Saying perfect game. Saying no-hitter. There is no such thing as a jinx. I have no impact on the game. I'm not losing any sleep over it. Not sorry. Okay? Okay. Long recap. Brewers will put it in there and flush it, as Josh Hader says. Let's talk about the roster construction now and try to get you up to speed on that before we get you on your day. Again, Brewers, early start today, 11:35 first pitch. As we move along, getting ready for the roster talk, have you tried the Built Bar Puffs yet? If you haven't, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. They've done it again in the Built Bar kitchens. They've got something for everybody. Right now, their new flavor of the month is Cookie Dough Chunk Puffs. They're only 160 calories and still 15 grams of protein. It's all the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it, and it's healthy for you. And just like all the Built Bars, the new Cookie Dough Chunk Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means they're healthy and tasty. Chocolate-covered cookie dough with a light, fluffy texture. I mean, come on. I might go get one in my pantry right now. You're going to love the new Cookie Dough Chunk Puff, whether you need a snack for your workout, a late-night treat, or just to grab a quick bite. Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, fat, and sugar. Grab yourself a Built Bar. Built, BUILT.com. We've got a promo code for you. Locked15. Locked15 at Built.com gets you 15% off your order with the promo code Locked15. Okay, roster time. I'm just as shocked as you were when you saw that Denelson Lamet was DFA'd from the Brewers roster. We're going to explain that in a second. Pedro Severino was DFA'd as well. Another move was Peter Strzelecki, as we predicted yesterday, was optioned to AAA Nashville. And the Brewers recalled Keston Hira, officially activated Matt Busch, and put Freddie Peralta, activated from the 60-day injured list, and back onto the 40-man roster. What's really interesting about the Lamet DFA is that they didn't technically have to do it. The roster, the 40-man roster is currently at 39. The catch, though, is that you have to have a maximum of 13 pitchers on the big league roster. You can't have more than that. And right now, with Freddie Peralta being activated, that adds a fifth starter for the first time in the second half. The Brewers haven't needed a true fifth starter aside from the one spot start by Ethan Small. But now you look at the rest of the bullpen, the Brewers still have a very deep bullpen of eight guys there and five starters. There was no room for Lamet, and the Brewers don't exactly know what they want on him. They want to see the guys like Busch. They want to see the guys like McGee and figure out what they have so that when the guys like Cousins and Topa and Rosenthal come back, they have to know who's going to be sent out when those guys arrive. There is a catch, though, with Topa and Cousins. Both those guys have options remaining. There's a very good chance they just get optioned when they are activated off the injured list and head back down to AAA. Those guys don't have the service time requirements to reject an option, which leads me to explaining what happened with Lamet. If you're surprised, you're allowed to be. And if you're shocked, absolutely, you don't see this every day where you trade an all-star closer and you get four guys back, and 2 days later, one guy's already out of the organization. Not via trade, but by your own choice. There is still a slim chance he stays in the organization. I'll explain here in a second. When you're DFA'd, or designated for assignment, what's happening is the team is trying to take you off of the 40-man roster. We explained the difference between the 26-man roster and the 40-man roster yesterday. Basically, they're trying to take you off of the reserve roster, if you will. But you have to clear waivers in order to do that, which means any other team has a chance to pluck you from the Brewers and add you to their team, claim them off waivers. The other catch, though, comes to do with service time. We've talked about service time for a while, that it's how many days you spend on a big league roster during the season. There's 184 days in the season. You need 172 days to accrue a year of service time on the active roster. There are perks with different levels of service time. At 3 years of service time, if you're outrighted off the 40-man roster and you pass through waivers for all other teams to give a chance, you can actually reject your minor league assignment when you have at least 3 years of service time. This is not an option. This is being outrighted, like this, being DFA'd off of the 40-man roster. And if you do clear everything and you do get assigned to the minor leagues, you have the option to reject that. And when you get to 5 years of service time, the player has to consent to an option. Every player has 3 option years. I made a tweet about all this. You can follow me on Twitter at Dom_Catronio. There's a thread on my Twitter about how all this works out. And how this pertains to Lamet is there was kind of a shock of that. The Brewers DFA'd him, but they kind of had to because he just surpassed 5 years of service time. How soon? How recent? 6 days ago on Friday. He needed a total of 42 days to reach his 5th year of service time of active on a big league roster this year. And heading into last week, he was on the minor leagues. He was still in the minor leagues and not accruing any time. He was still 4 days short of getting it done. Then he was recalled on July 26th. And in those final 6 days as a Padre, he crosses over the 42 days required, 44 total, which brings him just over 5 years of service time, which means the Brewers caught themselves with their hands tied. Do you try to option him knowing he's going to reject it and have to force him on your roster? Or two, the latter, what they ended up doing, DFA him and hope that nobody takes a bite on him and you keep him in the organization. And that's what they're going with right now. And he can still reject the minor league assignment and say, I'm going to test it and be a free agent. It gets very hairy. It gets very confusing. Let's also be honest with ourselves. Lamet has only thrown about 60 innings over the last 2 years. He didn't even pitch in the one playoff run for the Padres in 2020 in the shortened year. Yes, he was fourth in Cy Young voting that year. That was 1 year. He hasn't been healthy since. He wasn't the second coming of Devin Williams or anything like that. He does have a great slider. I would love to see the pitching lab on Dinelson Lamet. But we got to be real with ourselves. If there was somebody expendable, it was probably him. And if you want to say, but you traded Josh Hader for him, he wasn't the centerpiece of the deal. He was a throw-in. He was probably a favor. He was somebody that David Stern says, you know what? If we got room for him, we'll give him a chance. And remember, this trade happened the day before the deadline, which gave the Brewers opportunity, if they didn't add anybody else, Lamet would be the guy maybe in the Matt Bush role. Somebody that, if the Brewers didn't add a Rosenthal and a Bush, Lamet would still be on this roster. It gave them insurance, which is why they added him in the first place. The centerpiece of the deal was getting the prospects. Rodgers is a rental, and it's nice to have him too, but the big piece, as David Stearns explained, is trying to take as many bites out of the apple as possible. We've all heard that quote by now, and I've seen the memes about apples. The thought is you acquire these prospects, and the cost, along with Hader, is taking on Lamet, trying to find a spot for him, but it worked both ways for the Brewers in that he gave insurance in case the Bush and Rosenthal deals didn't work out. And you still have Topa and Cousins on their way back, so that's more arms coming back too. It's probably an example of the Brewers not exactly crazy about Lamet's arm, but are willing to take on the project if there's room for him. And now we're going to find out in these next 72 hours if there's going to be room for him. He's still got another year of control. So if he does make it through waivers and he does stay in the organization and he is in AAA and he gets to arrive in spring training next year, he would have to be added back to the 40-man roster. But that's a whole offseason in the Brewers organization. That could work out. Let's see what happens there. Other roster news is that Pedro Severino was DFA'd as well. He's trying to be cleared off the roster. No one's surprised that nobody traded for Severino. The Brewers were well aware that other teams knew the roster crunch that they were facing, so they are no longer carrying 3 catchers at the worst possible time. Remember, we quoted Murphy's Law at the very start of this show. It's the worst possible time because now it was revealed yesterday after the game, Omar Narvaez has a quad strain. He injured it rounding third in his last at-bat. So he will not play today. He will be reevaluated today and see what happens for the weekend for him. So Victor Caratini is currently going to be the starting catcher right now. The only other catchers on the 40-man roster are Alex Jackson and Mario Feliciano. Remember, Mario Feliciano has been on the taxi squad this year. I don't know if they're going to call him up. It would be his first time being called up this season. And then Jackson, he hasn't actually played since mid-July in the minor leagues. Remember, he missed time with the finger. I couldn't find for sure if he's still on the injured list right now. The Brewers need some catcher depth, and of course, the day that they DFA Severino is the day that they have an injury to one of their catchers. So they're hoping that no one plucks Severino, that he stays in the organization, they can put him right back onto the 40-man roster and put him onto the team. But that's going to take 2 days to have him clear waivers. When it rains, it pours right now for the Brewers. And I had this thought, too, about everything that's gone on. And right now, a lot of Brewers fans are mad about the Josh Hader trade. Fair enough. I get that. We need to recognize what Victor Caratini has meant to this team and how clutch he has been. Omar Narváez is an impending free agent, and the Brewers sounded like they were shopping him. And David Stearns also recognizes that importance and that value that that Victor Caratini has for the Brew Crew, because it sounds like they're very content with having him on the roster again next season. He's arbitration eligible next year. He's not a free agent until after the 2023 season. So he will be in an arbitration year. He's going to surpass a full 5 years of service time this year, too. And he's been huge for the Brewers. What an acquisition on the day before opening day. And now he's going to be asked to make sure you stay healthy and do not try to push it a little too hard on anything up the baseline or anything like that. Don't try to blow out a hamstring right now. Stay healthy and figure out what's going on with Omar Narváez. One last note on Cousins and Topa. Remember, they were sent on rehab assignments right now. They're pitching in the minor leagues. Topa was sent on July 23rd. Cousins was sent on July 26th. One way the Brewers can be savvy with their roster, pitchers are allowed to be on rehab assignment for 30 days, which means the Brewers can try to be savvy and prolong that option as long as possible until maybe something's popped up as a need. If somebody gets hurt, if somebody's feeling a little bit tender, they can try to use all 30 of those days and get them as close to September as possible, when they can add one more pitcher into this roster. When you have a 28-man roster, you have 14 pitchers. But a reminder, they still need to put Adrian Hauser back onto the active roster. He has been throwing. He's been throwing bullpens. It sounds like a rehab assignment is imminent for him. Don't be surprised if they try to use all 30 days for a Topa and a Cousins to then eventually option him if there is no room on the big league roster. Topa would be August 22nd, and Cousins would be August 25th is when they have to figure out what they're doing with those guys. As I wrap up this episode, let's once again understand you're allowed to be frustrated. That's the beauty of being a fan, right? You just want to see your team win a World Series, and you feel like you hurt your chances of winning a World Series by trading Josh Hader. Absolutely. I want to give a hypothetical for you. Do you want to be the Cubs what they are right now in 2 years' time? Tearing things down, trade rumors galore, getting ready to just be a full AAA roster. I don't want to do that. Neither does David Stearns or Mark Adonasio. And I'm not putting a seal of endorsement on the Josh Hader deal. But in 2 years, if Ruiz and Gasser are on the big league roster, you're going to look back on that Hader deal, and if they're providing, production, you're going to be thinking, man, maybe this is going to work out. You can't judge trades 3 days after it. It stinks right now. The Brewers have obviously lost 3 games in a row. But these things take time, and we all want it now in this world. We all want it now. But it's going to take time. Patience is a virtue. Let's be optimistic. And it's going to be a hell of a ride. If you want to hop off the ride, that's fine. Understand. But don't worry. We'll save a brat for you in the playoff tailgates. The Brewers still have an opportunity with their pitching staff, with their clubhouse, to get together and try to make the postseason once again. And it will be 5 straight years. 5 straight years of postseasons if they make it once again. That is an accomplishment any market size would be proud of. Big, small, medium, it doesn't matter. Brewers are going for it. I understand Josh Hader would have been a good piece to have on it, but he's gone. Put it in the rearview mirror, or as Josh said, put it in there and flush it. This is the team. This is who they're going to be. The offense is going to keep scoring runs, hopefully, and Corbin Burns, Freddie Peralta, Brandon Woodruff as a three-headed monster and a 3-game series against a wild card team, if it works out like that, or against the Central Division, if they end up being the wild card team, I'll take my chances with those three guys. I like the sound of it. Okay, let's put a smile on our face. Morning baseball, coffee baseball, 11:35 first pitch today on Bally Sports Wisconsin. We'll be right back here tomorrow. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time, and keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.